A4.
Number 2A.
Well, I want to spend another hour debunking matter and mortal mind so that we have a clean sheet when we start tomorrow with real reality. But I think before we can not wipe out of our human consciousness the false concept of reality, then we are not empty enough really to investigate the great question of spiritual reality. So we must first be quite clear that which humanly we call reality is not reality, that it is just an illusion, and we have to know why it is an illusion. And today, compared with Mrs. Eddy's time, we are in that enormously fortunate situation that the earth is helping the woman, that the earth, that physical science, natural science, psychology, is approaching the subject so that it pushes the borderline of materiality further and further, or nearer and nearer, to the realm of metaphysics, where we then can make the jump into the science of spirit. I was showing in the last hour how first on the mental basis from psychology they begin to realize that the mental is controlling the material world, mind over matter, and then I was beginning to show also that from the point of view of physics, they begin to see that which seems to be solid matter is not solid matter, but is a state of consciousness. That they are approaching really the statement that Mrs. Eddy made long ago, that spirit and matter are but states and stages of consciousness. And it is usually on that level that most Christian Science teaching has been delivered. For instance, if I quote one of Bicknell Young's big statement, where he said that matter is a perishable concept of the imperishable, you see, just equating, so to say, matter with a concept, not with substance, but with a concept, or where even in the realm of physics lately, this great physicist, philosopher, Weizsäcker stated, matter is spirit insofar as spirit is not recognized as spirit. Can you see that he equates matter with spirit under the condition that spirit is not understood? So that really we come to the final concept where we can say that matter is spirit when spirit is not understood, or is a misstatement of spirit. It is not something original, not an entity per se, but is actually just a limited concept of spirit. Or as we also could see and will see, that matter is a limited concept of idea. I come to the next subheading, C, where subject and object must be considered as one. You see, in the old classical way of thinking in the realm of natural science and physics, they always made a very clear distinction between object and subject, and were very aware that science is only then real science and pure science if no subjective thinking is involved in the analysis of the object. That natural science wanted to have their investigation on a very objective basis where no subjective attitude would be brought in. Now this is no more possible since they have discovered really, as we have seen, that matter is only a human construction, a construction of the human consciousness, as Barnett says. Therefore, they began to see that we can no more make a dividing line between matter and human consciousness, or in other terms, that subject and object are one. subject, the subjective thinking, and the object are no more two things, no more two entities. They are one and the same thing. And this is important to see, because we begin then to realize that so much depends on our subjective approach to our problem, because then we see really that mortal mind and matter are one, as Mrs. Eddy states, that mortal mind and body are one, Mrs. Eddy states. She states further that the belief and the believer are one, that mortal mind and death are one, that mortal mind and sickness are one. So you can see she gives in her teaching a whole list of statements showing that really mortal mind and body or matter are one. Now, this was a third time revolutionary and for the natural scientist ridiculous. Today it is for the natural scientist an accepted fact with which they have to reckon. I just quote from one of the very great physicists in Europe who is thinking along a lot about the implication of the new discoveries in natural science on human life, Professor Heitler. He says, until 1925, that's a very definite date, when they began to see the dual nature of matter as either quantum or as wave, that was that time. So he says, until 1925, it was believed that physical processes are independent of being observed by men. See, we think, or have been thinking, that physical processes are operating and are going on no matter if people observe it or not. But this has been seen to be false. He says, but in atom physics, it has been discovered that this is no more absolutely so. Here, one can no more observe the process without influencing them, and this even in a massive way. So, can you see what they say? That today they have seen from the plane of atom physics that material processes are being influenced in a massive way, the way these processes are observed. Observing means subjective approach. So that object and subject become one, they become interrelated, interdependent, and they are no more separate entities as we believe they were in the last century. This is naturally important to see, because that shows again that so much depends of our inward attitude, that the moment we change our inward attitude, the universe changes. We don't have to wait until the universe changes, and then we are happy to change too, but it's the other way around. In the measure that we change in consciousness, in that measure, the universe changes too. So more and more we begin to see and be very clear about this very fact that all is consciousness and depends on consciousness, and that this is no more just a metaphysical statement of metaphysicians, but that it is a metaphysical statement of the physicists too. That it is no more just a statement of the psychologists, but that it is a statement of the natural scientists too. And so more and more we come to a convergence of metaphysicians, natural scientists, psychologists, to the same statement that all is consciousness, and that that consciousness determines the form of the universe and therefore determines our experience. We can even see something more, namely that those physicists, especially those who are engaged in atom physics, that they begin to realize even something more. I just quote from Max Planck. You know Max Planck as the very outstanding pioneer in atom physics. You know also from Einstein that he showed that great equation that we can exchange energy and matter, that these are exchangeable. And so the reasoning is something like this by Max Planck. He says, as energy and matter are interchangeable, therefore energy, which is already immaterial, can produce matter. But energy comes from where? He says, energy comes from nothing material, because energy can produce matter. So energy comes from nothing material. And he says, we have therefore to accept that spirit is the primeval origin of matter. Now that doesn't mean that he reasons that spirit produces matter, because it is quite clear that he says, and matter is not real, true, but spirit is true. Can you see he goes even that step further, that he says that he asks the question of reality and shows that matter is not real, true, but spirit is true. And he ends up and says, and this spirit is God. They call him God, not out of a religious belief, but because they use that term God to define that which is suprahuman and which is immaterial. Heisenberg, the still living pioneer of atom physics, Nobel Prize winner, he says, the origin of matter are forms, structures, or with Plato, idea. So he also begins to see that when one investigates matter further and further down to their building stones, so to say, of matter, that at one point they come to that borderline where physics goes over that borderline into metaphysics, where they reach that field of idea there where really Plato was starting. He says this hints to a divine principle. The moment he can see that it is idea, idea hints to a divine principle. And so these speculations go on nowadays in the field of physics, and we begin to realize that wonderful time, I really must say wonderful time, where matter was reliable, at least reliable, and where material laws were somehow reliable, even that goes down the drain. It's no more reliable. The whole approach to what is called matter and the material universe begins to see that we have to do with a completely different structure of the universe. I just quote from Arthur Koestler, whom you know certainly from his books that are all written in English. For instance, he depicts the present state of physics like this. He says, the laws of physics are by no means immutable. We believe the laws of physics are quite immutable. Are by no means immutable, but in constant flux. And that since the advent of Planck, Einstein and Heisenberg, I just have quoted them, modern quantum physics has discarded all our classical common sense notions of time, space, matter, and have become the wonderland of such strange concepts, again subjective, as negative mass holes in space, you call them black holes too, electrons which seem to be in two places at once, and time flowing backward. Can you see the whole concept of physics that seemed to have been immutable has been overthrown today? We have time that flows backward instead of forward. We have anti-gravitational forces. We have electrons that are at the same time at two places. Our human mind can no more figure out that, you see. Our black holes, they always discover new black holes nowadays. Negative mass. At one time we felt we can weigh mass, say it's so and so much pound, and now it's negative pounds, negative weight. And you see, our whole construction of the human consciousness is just at the point of being overthrown completely. It is only so that the general public doesn't yet realize it. But the thinkers and the scientists, they do realize it. Just as, say, 400 years ago, there were a few thinkers who could realize that the sun doesn't get up in the east and goes to bed in the west. But the general public still today says the sun rises and the sun is setting. The general consciousness has not accepted scientific facts yet, because it takes quite a long time for the collective consciousness to accept the new findings. But for us it is a help and a support, because we then feel much sure in what Mrs. Eddy has given to us as her revelation in regard to the insubstantiality of matter, the mental nature of matter. That she was not so far out as people ridiculed her 100 years ago, but that she can really be counted among the modern thinkers of today when she makes these statements. And this, I think, is a great help. Let me just quote, and after today I will no more quote, but let me just quote a few others that are thinking in that line of what is matter. In the Intellectual Digest here in America, there was recently an article by a well-known physicist, Alan D. Allen, where he deals with the question, does matter exist? And I just go quickly through his line of thinking, and he asks, what is the raw material of nature? And he says, well, it is a collection of molecules, and that collection of molecules can be so big that it forms stars. The stars also can collect and form galaxies, and then again galaxies can collect by the billions and billions and form the cosmos, gets bigger and bigger. But when he says, what are the building stones, what is the raw material really of that matter which the cosmos consists, then naturally has to go deeper into the nature of these molecules. And so he asks now, what are the building blocks of these molecules? And he says, well, the alchemists at one time thought that everything is built up of fire, earth, air, water. Then came chemistry and said, well, we have to look at it a bit deeper. And so they found that all the chemical elements can be reduced back to about 100 chemical elements which you have in the periodic table. Then later on came the atom physicists and said, well, even those chemical elements are constituted of atoms. Then one was investigating atoms further down and said, well, atoms constitute of particles of that atoms. What are they? They are the protons, the neutrons, the electrons. Then they were asking, well, can we split up the nucleus, the neutrons and the protons? And so they began to split them up and came to another 100 different particles. They are thinking today, well, even those particles can be split up, and they already begin to talk about quarks, that they haven't found them yet, but they think they will find them. And they think already, and when we have found them, what are we going to do then? Then we will ask, what are the building stones of the quarks? And so on. They never come to a question until they finally see that the basic units of matter don't exist at all. That actually material objects, or the raw material, are not objects, but fundamental laws of physics. Can you see? They go right from matter again over to metaphysics. Because a law is nothing material. It's immaterial. Actually, what they do is that they say, we have asked the wrong question. We have asked, does matter exist? And what are the building blocks of matter? Mrs. Eddy would have answered them 100 years ago and say, matter does not exist. So you cannot ask, out of what does matter exist? It is a false approach. It is a false question. A false question can never be answered. And so they have never found an answer to a false question. The only thing that we can do is to change our question and ask and try to ask the right question. And the right question, this physicist says, would be that to see that the world, as he says, is constructed from principles rather than from units of matter. And therefore, he says, he could understand that John could say at the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word and not matter. Can you see what they are feeling? Something terrific, something which actually we have been doing in Christian Science, perhaps without realizing that we were asking a terrific big question. Perhaps we didn't realize it because we were just in the old way of arguing, is spirit real, is matter real? And so by doing that, you see, he could see that the question, what is matter, is wrong. We cannot say what is matter is if it is not. Something which is not can never be investigated as what it is. And that is what Mrs. Eddy saw. She could see that and therefore was actually giving the right answer.